Good evening. It is Wednesday. Jeff Bennett here with an installment of To Health With You. Well, it's the edge of darkness, but it's To Health With You, our typical Wednesday. As I worked on and off throughout the day on this program tonight, I realized that, and not that it's the first time, this has been an amazingly stressful year for almost everybody in this country. Dealing with this COVID situation, dealing with masks, dealing with loss of businesses, loss of life in many instances. It has been unbelievably stressful. It has also been an election year. This has created amazing stress. I went to bed early last night. Well, I tried. I moved beds 3 times at least, maybe 4. For one reason or another, I could sleep, but I wasn't comfortable. I was stressed. I went and laid down in a twin bed last night that I normally sleep extremely well in. And I woke up and I just wasn't feeling right. And I moved into my own bed. And it was flip-flop. I think I tried moving back to the other bed. I don't remember anymore. And this day, for reasons that I choose to not discuss nor never discuss again, has created stress of its own type. I mean, if you want to have a little bit of fun, a little bit of laughter, I would suggest that after the program you take a brief stop over to federalobserver.com and look at the top 2 entries. And I am convinced, now who in the world is calling me? Oh, it's just a few moments after, it will be the school, of course. It means my granddaughter missed a class again today. But it doesn't seem to bother her. It just does not seem to bother. Anyway, so that's my 2 pieces of satire that I posted today. But I'm not in a satirical mood. I'm very stressful, even right now. And although I prepared things for this program tonight, shortly before going on, I decided to move in a slightly different direction. Oh, it deals with health. It deals with this very issue that I brought up. I have to share with you that I have, over this 25 and a half years on the air, I've got people that are avid listeners, people that I've known for well over 2 decades, people we've stayed in touch with, Buck, also known as Tim, and others who I can visualize right now and can't think of their names. And the conversations we've had over the past year have been amazing to me. The history that we've shared together. I've talked to people who have been excessively fearful of all that we are facing in this nation today, and in fact have faced, and the filth and the hatred, the riots, the murders, the fires, everything that we've covered in so in depth in this past year. And it all comes back to that same thing, stress. how the stress affects our body. It does it from our brain to our digestive system, to our heart, to our internal organs, certainly to our psyche, our mental situation. Chronic stress, my friends, can increase our risk of a stroke, high blood pressure, heart disease, depression, anxiety. Well, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not dealing yet with a stroke or the blood pressure or the heart disease, but the depression and the anxiety, absolutely. It's one thing to feel occasional stress, but when you are constantly under pressure and have no way to cope, our risk of developing serious illness climbs. But never fear, my friends, because you'll not die of a stroke or high blood pressure or heart disease or cancer or anything else. Oh, no, you're only going to die of COVID, and that's enough to increase the stress, and that's my satirical comment on that issue. But if you have ever felt stressed out, and ladies and gentlemen, we all have, I would be willing to bet more so in this past 12 months than at any time in our lives. I've been very upfront about it. I was never this stressed in 21 months in Vietnam. No, and I wasn't sitting in an office. No. I was up in helicopters picking wounded and injured people up and getting them off to hospitals. I was known as a patient protector. I was one of the only people officially armed on the helicopter. But they called us whatever they wanted. It didn't matter. We picked up friend and enemy alike. That was the nature of what we did. There were times we were shot at in the air. One time, if it hadn't been for my sitting on a special iron plate that, for one reason or another, was in that ship that day, I would have had a second anal canal. Now, I know that sounds a little rough to you, but I still never had the stress I have in this nation today. We all know that being under stress and pressure can affect our body, either by causing a headache. I've gone through my fair share of that today. I haven't had headaches in years. Muscle tightness. Maybe sometimes we get flutters in our chest, making us feel down in the dumps, leaving us ravenous for chocolate or robbed of all appetite. But these stress symptoms are merely the signals of the deeper impact that chronic stress can have on every single organ and system in our body. From our nervous and circulatory systems to our digestive and even immune systems. But don't be that tightened up yet, because not all stress is bad. And the hormones that our body produces in response to stress, they're not either. Their levels actually fluctuate throughout the day as we adapt to challenges such as waking up. Yeah, that's an example of stress. Maybe getting stuck in traffic. I don't know about you, but I ain't on the road all that much. Maybe being surprised for your birthday. I prefer we not bother wasting our time and money doing it anymore. Just another year older and deeper in debt. But you know, it's also possible to manage stress by doing some small things. Deep breathing. Taking a walk, listening to a meditation app, maybe even grabbing your child's fidget spinner to distract yourself from whatever's stressing you out. Meditation app? I don't know what that is. A meditation app to me is listening some soft jazz. Maybe even some opera occasionally. Any of these strategies can help short-circuit the body's fight or flight response, stopping the flood of stress hormones from revving up our blood pressure and our heart rate. Yeah, I remember when I went to the emergency room last May, and I thought I was having a mini stroke. And when I got in there, you know, they take your blood pressure, your temperature, your heart rate, all this business. And it was up. But once I had deciphered and had diagnosed exactly what was wrong with me, I knew. And I calmed down. And my blood pressure was down, my heart rate was down, everything. They couldn't figure it out. Any of these strategies can help short-circuit the body's fight or flight response. Stopping the flood of stress hormones from revving up your blood pressure and heart rate, that's pretty smart. But you know, when you're stressed, your heart rate does go up, and so does your blood pressure. Most folks can handle those kinds of physiological changes in stride. Cortisol is released when you feel stressed. But the level of that hormone should go back down when the stressful event is over. But even short-term stress can have a profound impact on your heart if it's bad enough. There's a condition called cardiomyopathy, also known as broken heart syndrome. That's a weakening of the heart's left ventricle. That's its main pumping chamber, by the way, that usually results from severe emotional or physical stress. And although the condition is generally rare, 90% of cases are in women. Cardiomyopathy can occur in very stressful situations, such as after a huge fight, the death of a child, or other major triggers. Patients come into an emergency room with severe chest pain and other symptoms of what is known as acute heart failure syndrome, though their coronary arteries are clear. They can be very sick, but with treatment, most of the time people recover. So the question that is posed to us is, should I get a stress test? Well, it doesn't measure the stress in our life, but it does measure the stress in our heart, or rather how hard our heart is working and what it looks like when you're walking very fast on a steep incline on a treadmill. People tend to get a stress test when they have multiple risk factors for heart disease, or if they've been having certain symptoms like chest pain or palpitations. Basically, we want to see what happens to the heart when there's a greater demand for oxygen or when the blood pressure and the blood flow increase. That's when you can see if there might be an obstruction that is blocking blood flow in the arteries that needs treatment. Left unchecked, severe stress, the kind that continues for months or years, is more apt to lead to a serious illness than short-term stressors do. The stress hormones, cortisol, adrenaline, and I'll get chewed out for this one, epinephrine, affect most areas of the body. They interfere with sleep and increasing the risk of stroke, high blood pressure, heart disease, as well as causing depression and anxiety. That according to Dr. Alka Gupta, co-director of the Integrative Health and Well-Being Program at New York Presbyterian Weill Cornell Medical Center in New York City. But there's a few key ways that chronic stress can impact the body. Stress causes inflammation. Studies have shown that chronic stress is linked to increased inflammation in the body. And one of the proposed actions of stress is that it triggers inflammation in the body, which is thought to underlie many diseases, including heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disorders, things like multiple sclerosis, and even pain. But there might be a culprit here, because chronic stress seems to be linked to an increase in pro-inflammatory cytokines. That's a type of immune cell that is typically part of the body's defense system when you have an infection. People with autoimmune conditions, where the immune system attacks the body itself, tend to have higher levels of these cytokines. Good news is that stress management techniques such as meditation have been shown to have anti-inflammatory effects, lowering the cytokines in the body. Stress affects your digestive tract. You see, the gastrointestinal tract is filled with nerve endings and immune cells, all of which are affected by stress hormones. And as a result, stress can cause acid reflux as well as exacerbate systems of irritable bowel system, inflammatory bowel disease, not to mention creating butterflies in your stomach. Stress messes with your immune system. Number of studies shows that stress lowers immunity, which may be why you're likely to come down with a cold after a crunch time at school or work. Right on the first day of your vacation. Oh, yeah. Vacation. What is that? I haven't had one of those in a long time, I don't think. I don't even know what it is. Patients with autoimmune disorders often say they get flare-ups during or after stressful events, or say that their condition began after a particularly stressful event. But stress can muddle your brain. Brain scans of people with post-traumatic stress disorder show more activity. Isn't that a good word? In the... Who comes up with these words? Amygdala? Amy Gadala? Well, whatever. Amygdala. Somebody had to misspell the word somewhere. Amygdala. I dated her once. No. The amygdala is a brain region associated with fear and emotion. But even everyday kinds of stress can affect how the brain processes information. You know, we tend to see actual structural, functional, connectivity-related brain changes in people who are under chronic stress. And all these things can affect cognition and attention, which is why you may find it hard to focus or learn new things when you're stressed. Kind of makes you feel crummy all over, doesn't it? Makes us more sensitive to pain. It can also cause pain due to muscular tension. People under stress also tend to perceive pain differently. And are also apt to sleep well. Less apt to sleep well, which does not help matters. And that explains to me a lot about my sleeping habits these last 5 or 6 months. Because you see, my friends, sleep is so important in terms of helping to prevent every disease. It helps reboot the immune system, prevents depression, irritability, and exhaustion. You see, that shares a lot about what I've been going through. It tells me much. But I suspect I'm not the only one. I suspect there's a good number of you out there listening to these words that you start freaking out because you start to say, well, my God, that's what I'm going through. Another question. Is it possible to get cancer from stress or to die from it? Well, it might be tough to link stress directly to a specific disease, but we know that stress does contribute to serious illness. 40% of cancers are preventable with changes in lifestyle, which is something I've talked to you about for a long time. Since stress makes you more likely to smoke, drink excessively, and eat in ways that cause obesity, it's fair to say there's a link between stress and disease. And maybe it's no accident that most heart attacks occur on a Monday, the most stressful day of the week. Copy, Paula Darrell. It became interesting to me to share that commentary with you for reasons that I don't think that I need to describe. If I do need to describe it to you, then I guess you haven't been listening for the last year or the last 25 and a half years. Think about that. All that we're going through in this nation today, everything. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what next week is going to bring, next year. We don't know what the rest of our lives are going to bring. Now, think about that. That, to me, is a little on the spooky side, folks. Just a tiny hair on the spooky side. What in the living daylights is going on here? And so, what are we going to do to reduce the stress? Can't even talk today. What do you want? I'm stressed out. Oh, my word. Yeah, I have a headache tonight. I lay down at one point in time today. I just did not want to sit up. I did not want to work on computers. I didn't want to work on websites. Nothing. I've done a few things on Dr. Kelly for the day. DrKelly.info. I did get out of here and go to the post office this morning because I needed to do so. I had to get some books shipped out of here that should have gone out several days ago. Actually, one was amazingly frustrating because I had not been to the post office to check mail lately. And I got there, and it was an order for Dr. Kelly's books that he'd mailed out on the 10th. I didn't get them until late last week. And then you had Martin Luther King Day. The post office was closed. The bank was closed. It goes on and on and on. But I finally got it and a number of others, and we got them all rolled out of here today. And that's okay. That's good. Books are on the way. Let's talk about a little bit of diet for a few moments. There's a section we have in Dr. Kelly's website called Dr. Kelly's Kitchen. That's interesting. Where did it go? It's just called Kelly's Kitchen. And we try to publish things in there that talk about foods that you should be eating, should not be eating, some of the things you can do to reduce risks of cancer. This one I found of interest, and I will share with you that although there's a very small percentage of men that do get breast cancer, the majority of what we're going to share with you here for a few minutes deals with predominantly the female members of our population. And we're going to talk about the risk of breast cancer, but in a positive nature, some of the things we can do to reduce that risk. See, I can't even talk. There's certain kinds of food we should eat more of. Now, one of these foods is a food that I love. I love onions. I love garlic in moderation. There's something called sofrito. It is a condiment made from onions and garlic. It's a staple in Puerto Rican kitchens. And there's some personalized recipes that might feature other healthful herbs and spices, cilantro, peppers. But its most basic ingredients remain the same. It can be a dip or a salsa, used for a foundation for rice dishes, all sorts of things we can do with it. But there's been some interesting research that find it might be more to this iconic condiment than its rich Puerto Rican character. Major breakthrough, scientists from State University of New York at Buffalo, University of Puerto Rico, found that sofrito is linked to a reduced risk of breast cancer. And in particular, women who consumed sofrito more than once a day had an incredible 67% decrease in breast cancer risk compared to women who never ate it. That's interesting. You think sofrito's anti-cancer effect stems from the combination of potent organic compounds in onion and garlic both. And so, sofrito, the anti-cancer condiment. Now, past studies in onion and garlic intake have so far drawn a link between consumption of those two ingredients, the risk of certain cancers, including those of lungs, prostate, stomach. But little is known about the potential effects of onion and garlic intake on breast cancer risks in particular. And so to this end, several medical practitioners and colleagues followed a cohort of 314 Puerto Rican women with confirmed breast cancer cases and 346 control subjects between 2008-2014. Now, the participants recorded their dietary intake using food frequency questionnaires throughout the assessment. And Puerto Rican women were a unique cohort to examine because Puerto Ricans eat more onions and garlic as part of their cuisine compared to those of us in the U.S. or even in Europe. They've got the lowest breast cancer rates compared to the U.S., thus making an ideal population to examine with regards to breast cancer risk. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my ease off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
It's just an interesting piece of music to come back with. Clint Eastwood. Yeah. That's who's playing the piano at Carnegie Hall. Welcome back to today's To Health With You. So, we're talking about this little thing called sofrito. These findings were published in the journal Nutrition and Cancer show that this combined intake of onion and garlic, as well as sofrito, was associated with a reduced risk of breast cancer. And their findings also confirmed that the combination of anti-carcinogenic compounds in onion and garlic, things like quercetin, saponin, aline, also potent against breast cancer. Now, Latinas, as a demographic, are about 30% less at risk of breast cancer compared to the average woman in this country. And that research might explain how that came to be, because Puerto Rico has seen an increasing trend in their rate of breast cancer in recent times. Oh, maybe they're altering their diet, huh? Research on breast cancer in Puerto Rico is still somewhat scant. So it is difficult to speculate about the possible causes of the rising incidence of breast cancer in the region. Further research on breast cancer among Puerto Ricans might help shed light on the subject. I am going to suspect that it is a combination of a lot of things. It's what the foods are being sprayed with, the onions, the garlic. Maybe contrails, chemtrails, if they're going through that kind of nonsense. Maybe their water has been affected due to Fukushima years ago. There's far too many reasons for all of this, people. Numerous studies on onions and garlic and other foods classified under the Allium genus of plants confirm their cancer-fighting properties. In 2017, Chinese researchers examined existing studies on the role of garlic and onion and other alliums in protecting against chronic diseases like cancer. And their group found that the functional components of alliums, including organosulfur compounds, among others, can be utilized to minimize the risk of chronic disease. The organic sulfur compounds in particular appear to be among the most potent cancer-fighting components of alliums. In garlic, by the way, those compounds include, oh, some more of these marvelous words. We're just going to call it allicin. They've got another whole lengthy word, dialyotheosulfate, you know. Fenner's trisulfide. Allymethyl trisulfide. It goes on and on and on. And yet all these studies find that these components can suppress inflammation linked to chronic disease and inhibit the growth of cancer cells. And meanwhile, the onions contain phenolic acids, theosulfonates, anthocyanines on top of their organosulfur compounds. And together, all these components help stall tumor formation. Feistin, antioxidant in onion, is also a promising agent for holistic cancer treatment, according to some recent studies. It is interesting for me to continue to study this field of cancer. And time is not going to allow me to share all of this, but I want to give you a reintroduction to something here tonight. But in doing so, I'm going to strongly urge that if you care to follow through and have a better understanding of cancer, then I'm going to give you the link on the Dr. Kelly site as to where to find it, be able to complete what I'm going to share with you for these next few minutes. These are the words of Dr. William Donald Kelly, the man that I met many years ago, one of my extremely rare guests that I ever had at a program that made a lot of changes in my life. The majority of it positive. And he states that, and these are his words, "I can truthfully say that I have cured or healed myself of cancer, malignancy. And I can cure myself again if it ever becomes necessary. But better still," Kelly states, "I've learned God's law of health concerning malignancy, cancer. And I will ever invoke this law so that I am not likely to have the disease again." This is where it begins to become interesting, and it's something that each and every one of you will understand, or damn well should. Kelly continues that in the old adage of physician, heal thyself, two things stand out to me. One is that if a physician cannot heal himself, how can he or she heal others? And the other involves the true meaning of cure, cure for anything. It's so often said that, "Well, I went to Dr. Jones and he cured me." Nothing, my friends, could be further from the truth. No matter how many years a doctor has gone to school, no matter how many college degrees he or she may have, a doctor can only cure one person, himself. And it is important that a person understand that only he can cure himself of anything. It's the individual and his or her own body chemistry that cure him of the disease. And in doing this, he must take note that he is a physical, structural, mental, and spiritual, and that each facet plays a part in said cure. His physician or clinician can only bring to his attention some of the basic laws of God concerning your health. But unfortunately, many clinicians are not sufficiently aware of those laws, even though they are honest and sincere and they try their hardest. You understand what Dr. Kelly just said to you? Your doctor cannot cure you of one damned thing. It's up to you. And that may more than likely require some changes in your lifestyle. It is the individual and your body chemistry that is going to cure yourself of disease. And in doing this, you must take note that You are a physical, structural, mental, and spiritual, that each facet plays a part in your cure. Your physician or clinician can only bring to his attention, your attention, some of the basic laws of God concerning health. But unfortunately, most clinicians are not sufficiently aware of those laws. Now, Kelly states that, although I'm a clinician, I have no intention of treating anyone for cancer or any other disease. I'm even more than a clinician. I am a teacher, he said. And my purpose is sharing my story is therefore educational. And I hope it will instruct you in God's laws of natural good health, and particularly in those concerning malignancy, so that you can have a body free of this dreaded affliction. And he states, I call under Yahweh, I am that I am, to bless this information, send it forth to those who have the wisdom and the need to use it. And so we begin to introduce you to Kelly's own personal story. He'd had cancer for more than 3 years before the true nature of the problem ever dawned on him. And at the height of the cancer, he supposedly had about 2 months to live. And if he had not discovered God's law concerning cancer and applied them very diligently, he would have not been here to share this information so many years later. But with few exceptions, by the time one discovers he or she has cancer, you've had it for a long time. And that was Kelly's situation. And now that he really knows all the true early signs of cancer, he also knows that he was being warned many months before his case became clinical. From time to time, he would notice belching gas, just a little. But he didn't give it much thought. Just suppose he'd eaten a little too much. Eventually, he began to pass gas from the bowel, a little at first, finally so much it was embarrassing to him and his family. His first warning, his hobby was antique automobiles. And on one trip the family made to Colorado, in a 1923 Cadillac, he noticed at dusk that he found it difficult to read the road signs. He had to be right up to them before they became legible. But still didn't have the good sense even to suspect that he had cancer. Most people wouldn't think that way. You just run on down to Walmart and get yourself a new prescription and get some new glasses. That's it. But he didn't give the matter much more thought until 2 months later he was showing some slides to the antique automobile club. But he couldn't seem to get the pictures in focus. Thought he had damaged his camera, but the clubmaster told him that the pictures were very clear, that he'd better have his eyes checked. So he gave in, made an appointment with the ophthalmologist for an eye exam. And to Kelly's horror, he was prescribed trifocals. His protests were for naught. He could then see his pictures and road signs much better. But then the second warning came along. Things went on about the same for a couple more months. And he began to notice that if he sat in one position for more than 20 minutes, he would have muscle aches, particularly in the back. His physician finally gave him a muscle relaxant after he'd visited him several times with the same complaint. But he was still too naive to suspect cancer. After all, Kelly was a dentist. Medication didn't help. Another month or so, he began to have the pains in his chest, which then, of course, began to upset him considerably. Rushed to the physician once more. And over the next few months, several electrocardiograms were made. Nothing out of the ordinary showed. It couldn't, because the pain was from the chest muscles, a frequent sign of cancer. But as usual, he was oblivious to the true early warning signs. And then his third warning went unheeded. A long, long, horrible period of mental depression followed. Another true warning sign that cancer was rearing its ugly head. And he went to the physician again and practically begged for help, asking for an antidepressant drug or anything that would help alleviate this chronic severe depression. By this time, he was fed up with Kelly and his complaints, sat him down and carefully explained that there was nothing wrong with him. Kelly's heart was stronger than the doctor's. High time that he stopped worrying about it. After all, it was only in his mind. But you see, as cancer progresses, it gives off a toxin that makes one extremely depressed. A feeling of impending death a good part of the time. And gradually, during the entire 3 years of early cancer growth in his body, he became weaker and weaker. But by that time, he knew something was very tragic was taking place, but he didn't know what. And still had no suspicion that it might be cancer. Well, his job, the work that he loved so very much, became distasteful. He wanted to give it up, start a new profession, anything to attempt regaining an interest in life. And after all the many years of college training for a job that he loved so much, he was seriously contemplating junking it all. And after 8 years of clinical practice and research, he found himself ready to throw in the towel. Terrible feeling to be so sick and not be able to understand why or put a name on it. His thinking became fuzzy, unclear, irrational. And then a fourth warning. Still no inkling in his mind what the culprit might be. And during those many months of severe depression, his hair began showing signs of lifelessness, became brittle and coarse. And he was losing some. And what was left was becoming gray. Warning five also escaped his attention. He developed a hernia. Typical of a person with malignancy, since the malignancy is accompanied by muscle deterioration. And then his sixth warning. And by this time, he was feeling so bad that he reluctantly returned to his physician, finally admitted there might be something wrong, and sent him off to an internist. And after passing of 3 months' time, during which the beard and thrown cancer test had proved extremely positive, and Kelly had undergone many other tests and diagnostic procedures, including x-rays, the internist finally suggested biopsies of his pancreas and liver and intestines. And suspected that these operations would reveal cancer. And although the biopsies were not performed, the physician's suspicions were correct. And so it began. Kelly's wife was privately told not only that he had tumors in all three organs, but also that in the doctor's opinion, he had no more than 18 months to live. And although he had begun to suspect the worst, another month passed before Kelly himself learned of all the facts. Meanwhile, the chief surgeon in the locale where they lived had ruled out full-scale surgery because he thought that Kelly was in such bad shape he would not make it off the operating table alive. And Sue, Kelly's wife, who I'd known, had been told to take him home and get their affairs in order as promptly as possible, for it wouldn't be long before Kelly would pass away. And yet, ironically, though Kelly had been doing cancer research for several years, it had never occurred to him that he could have it himself. Just like thousands of people who think it can happen to someone else, but not to them. Only the cancer victim can understand the fear and the despair that finally overwhelmed Kelly. Which hit him harder probably than it would have the average person, because Kelly had been studying and researching the details of cancer and had firsthand insight into that horror of horrors. Since Kelly's early childhood, he had experienced a deep and abiding interest in all facets of medicine. He had spent much of his life studying anything and everything he could find in the field. Had spent 2.5 years with the military medics and 14 years working his way through college in hospitals, doing everything from running, electrocardiograms, to assisting in surgery, viewing firsthand the complete gamut of medical practices, and witnessing the tragic decline and ultimate death of hundreds of hopeless cancer victims. And with that great deal of knowledge about the medical community's various approaches to cancer, he knew that in spite of all the propaganda fed to the general public about success rates with certain treatments, there were actually very few people who survived the medical establishment's chemicals and surgical procedures and radiation treatments, and he did not want to be another one of their statistics. which is an interesting thing to share with you, because I came across an article today. I did not read it. The headline told me all I wanted to know. Rush Limbaugh, you know he's got cancer. And he's now openly admitted that he has gone the traditional cancer treatment route with the mainstream medical community. And it's all for naught. He's got stage four. And everything they've done for him has done nothing more. They've prolonged his life a little bit. But what the hell kind of life is that? As soon as Kelly realized his true situation, he decided not to take any new patients. He prayed he would be granted time to complete the work with the patients already under his care. And it took him about 2 weeks to overcome the terrific shock and to wrestle with his own fate. And after days of intensive thought and prayer, he decided not to accept the fate of an early death. Instead, he accepted life and his duty to seek out God's law concerning cancer and, if possible, apply them to himself and teach them to others. And that is so much of the reasoning for, in the year 2000, developing this website to teach, to educate, to inform the council people who have been so rudely discovered that they had health issues, cancer issues. You know, at the beginning of this program, we talked about stress and the stress that I've been under. Do you know when my stress goes away? In most cases, it's while doing a program. I tend to calm down. I tend to focus. Most of this year, doing political programming has stressed me beyond belief. When I do these health-related programs, I walk away feeling good because I feel that I've been able to share some things with people that I pray God will be of help to each and every one of you. But I pray God even more that it won't be a help because you won't need it. That maybe you're in better shape. There's certainly more to Kelly's story than all that we've shared with you here. And I strongly invite you to go read the rest of it. Spend some time at Dr. Kelly's site, drkelly.info, I-N-F-O. What I've been sharing with you is from a link all the way at the top. It says home, welcome, mission, on the air, metabolic typing, the bookstore, etc. This particular one stands on its own. It's called Dr. William D. Kelly, His Story. Or history, depending upon the way it's spelled. I strongly urge you to go read it. You'll reread all that I've shared with you thus far. You'll then pick up down a little bit lower where there's a hand carving of Dr. Kelly, cowboy boots and jeans, etc., holding an old coffee pot. Kelly's famous coffee enema. Thanks for sharing your hour with me tonight. I hope you found it a benefit. We'll see you tomorrow. And we will begin again. But in what direction? I do not know. Good night. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. Once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin the beginning.
again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. And there we are, swearing to love forever and promising never, never to part. What moments divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let them begin the beginning. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin, the beginning. Oh yes, let them begin, the beginning. Make them play till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.